this morning. And I want you and Kevin just to stand. I'll come up. I want to bless you guys here. I know this is your last one, right? Okay. I know you said that before, but you really mean it this time. Okay. Little joke. Sorry. At least we're laughing about it. Kevin and Anna are venturing out on a path to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you haven't heard their story, I'll let them tell it to you. But it's just an amazing one to hear. And lots of prayers being answered. Anna shared a little bit about it last week. When you thought things were going to be one way, God shows up and they're a whole lot another and a whole lot better. And so we're gonna pray for them and bless them today. Are you guys reporting this week? Is that it?
I start on
Friday. Okay, moving tomorrow. All right. Well, why don't you guys? Yeah, praise God. You guys, somebody here and join me here. Get some elders, get some moms and dads around them. We're going to pray for them and bless them today. It's important when someone from your family is saying yes to God and doing something that they didn't see coming, but they know God's on it. And we just want to bless them and believe God for all that he has to be manifested. So, Lord, we bless Kevin and Anna today. Lord, we thank you for the Bradfords and all that they've done, all that they've been, Lord, here in this community, God, and in this season. But God, we also acknowledge and recognize, Lord, that you have much in store for them. And so today, God, we agree with your heart over them, Lord, that you, Lord, would show yourself great and mighty in their midst, Lord, with new opportunities, new occupation, new seasons, new locations, Lord, that you make all things new, God, so that there would be a greater manifestation and a greater encounter in you. And we bless them today, Lord. We acknowledge and say that we know that they're called and set aside for your purposes, and may those purposes be accomplished as they go. Lord, may they take with them, Lord, the love that we have for them and any grace that may be imparted here, Lord. May they be a representative and ambassadors, Lord, for all that you desire to use them in. And God, we thank you that we'll get to see them when they come home to visit family. But God, we thank you today as family that we can send them out like arrows, Lord, and that they would accomplish much in this next season and receive much as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God for you guys saying yeah. They didn't, love you too. They didn't just take it lightly either. The process, you know, sometimes especially, moving out of state or whatnot, nothing should be taken lightly. When you're attempting to follow God, God's really cool about giving us do-overs. But sometimes a path to one way has to go through an unlikely place. And that's kind of how I am here this morning, believe it or not. I mean, specifically today, because we're going to pray here in a moment. But as often is the case, someone else other than me was going to give the communion message this morning. And as often is the case, someone was going to preach the message this morning. It's Mother's Day, and Sharon had something kind of boiling in her, and Rachel and I met with her not too long ago and said, man, it would be great if you could share some really cool stuff on Mother's Day. And she says, okay, I'll do it. And Greg says, I'm in charge of doing communion this week, and both of them this morning called me and said they're sick. Oh, okay, so I'm here, a different pathway than I thought I'd be, but I'm prepared. Not really. I just got the Holy Spirit. And so hopefully in the middle of the night, somewhere about 4 o'clock in the morning, I just began thinking about something, and I didn't know why. I just thought it would be cool. My next message, by the way, this isn't my next message. We've been talking about God showing up in Isaiah with the understanding that what he's done and what he's promised, he will do again, okay? And so all of that has been really good for me in studying, but I didn't feel the release of the Lord to go into the next place yet. Instead, I start thinking about, obviously today is Mother's Day, and I'm probably the worst preacher at being able to preach a message based on what Hallmark holiday or any other holiday it is, okay, what season. It never has gone well for me, so I never try that. I just explain ahead of time that if you're, expecting something seasonally, it may or may not happen based on what the Holy Spirit does. But as I was thinking about today, specifically, holidays, it began taking me to the place of understanding celebration and rest. Because we gather here today on a Sunday, what many would call the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, the most overlooked and underappreciated commandment is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so, some people are legalistic and say, you know, they want to, you know, follow the letter of the law about the Sabbath, but most of us in modern Christendom consider Sunday kind of a Sabbath day, a rest day. And I know the Seventh-day Adventists, they stick with Saturdays. I don't know if there's other ones that do or not. But there's something that the Lord wants to do in understanding the Sabbath, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we're going to talk about that, but before we do, I want to go ahead and pray for Greg and pray for Sharon. All right? So Father, we just bless them this morning, Lord. We bless our brother and our sister, Lord, whatever is afflicting them, whatever ailment, God, whatever has come upon them, Lord, we know that you paid the price for their healing. And God, we ask today that on this day, your Holy Spirit would minister to them, would release, God, even now, them from whatever affliction, whatever infirmity, God, that's come upon them, with flu, cold, infection of any kind, pain. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray healed and whole over their body, soul, and spirit. We declare made well and restored in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's kind of a double whammy for Sharon. It was her birthday today. Her birthday, Mother's Day, she's sick. I'm like, come on. We need a breakthrough here, God. So we're going to start today where Jesus confronts or proclaims something to the religious leaders in Matthew 12. So if you go to Matthew 12 with me, the first 8 verses, I'm just going to read here a little bit. And just one of the times where Jesus shocks them a little bit. And so Matthew 12:1 says, at that time Jesus, I read normally the NIV. I think that's what this is. I might have been New King James, but usually it's NIV. At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So, right off the bat, they're doing something that's technically against the law, you know, gathering and eating food. That was work, wasn't supposed to be done. And Jesus just rocks their world two ways. First, by doing what was considered taboo, you know, approving them, you know, basically harvesting, working. And secondly, by declaring himself Lord of the Sabbath. And they're like, I can't believe. You know, he's breaking the law, and now he's blaspheming. That's where they're at in this moment. But he's proclaiming something real clear. Look, I'm the one who made it. And I'm the one who defines it, or redefines it in this case. Your rules don't apply to me. Those rules were given by my Father to help point you to me. And there's something that we see in that moment that sometimes, you know, there's a saying about they couldn't see the forest for the trees. They couldn't see the Messiah for all the rules they made about the Messiah. Their labor had blinded them to his love. Now, tucked in there between those two is the real essence of God's heart. And that's in verse 7. where he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know, right between those two earth-shattering actions and proclamations. And if we consider the context that he says those things, we discover that the previous chapter, right at the end of chapter 11, the last three verses are the invitation that Jesus makes that's oftentimes heard all throughout, you know, church life. In Matthew 11, 28, a matter of fact, we said it last week. Wow, that's right. Come to me. The invitation. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So all this talk of rest right before a passage that deals with the Sabbath. I don't think it's a mistake. The Lord, through Matthew's writing, is trying to communicate something here. Because it seems like God's people had become weary and burdened by the weights and duties of the Sabbath. That's the very thing that's supposed to bring refreshing and rest to them. They're now meticulously trying to get all their I's dotted and their T's crossed, trying to get everything accomplished. And so Jesus here, he redefines the meaning of what the Sabbath is supposed to be for them. And it's not just the people of his day that need this. I think it's the people of our day that need this. This reality that he made us, we're people, and there's something that we need that he can provide. Rest. People need rest. Now, both in ceasing from hard work, that's what the word Shabbat means, ceasing from hard work, but also in being present together with him. The word rest, nuach, N-U-A-K-H, those two words. Shabbat, nuach, okay? So one is a ceasing, and one is, if you will, entering into or receiving. Now, Jesus ushered in the promise and the reality of both of these, but somehow I think it just gets lost. You can stop laboring, and you can enter into something, and it's what you're meant for. There's a refreshing and a renewing that doesn't come in any other ways. Because when I say rest, I'm not saying everybody needs 8 hours of sleep, although it wouldn't be bad to have one day. Okay, but I haven't had that for a long time. It's not saying, you know, what the state gives you. You got to have this many meals, opportunities, and 15 minutes of coffee break. It's not saying you need to go on a vacation once or twice a year. It's not saying take your daily nap, even though I know some people that take a nap every day right around noon. You know, and whole cultures that do that. But he's not referring to any of that here because he's not talking about natural rest. Jesus is enlightening us that God's actual intent for the Sabbath was unity with him, harmony with creation, and community with people. That when we're in a place of rest, we're not going to be short with people. When we're in a place of rest, our communion with him is unbroken. When we're in a place of rest, we can appreciate the beauty of God that's all around us. Now, I'm going to raise my hand, and no one else has to, not to, but has anybody ever found themselves going so fast or being so hurried or so driven that they forget to appreciate a person or a thing that's beautiful right before them? Okay. Does anybody realize that we oftentimes live our lives way too much like that? We're on a holiday right now. We're going to have lots more holidays before I die and, you know, a lot more before you. And they'll probably add a few more. But the reality that the pressure, my wife has never pressured, I'm going to say this with all honesty, my wife has never once ever pressured me to perform for some reason on a Valentine's Day, holiday, happy birthday, anniversary. She's never once done that. She understands that putting pressure on people to do something for them to make them feel good is really a worthless endeavor. because it's not authentic, it's not genuine. I do my best to honor her, but I've never heard you could have done better when it comes to something on a holiday. I'm thankful for that because she knows, first of all, I really stink at buying gifts. And two, if I try too hard, I really mess stuff up, okay? But we all do. When we're trying to perform a task to try to be good on this day or that day, what we do, I often believe, is what Jesus was pointing to, what you guys are doing. You're spending so much energy trying to make this something that it's not, that you're forgetting the real purpose. The real purpose is I made you and created you to receive a rejuvenating, a refreshing, and a recentering in my presence. Perhaps today, as we began our service this morning about God giving us eyes to see, maybe that's partly what that's about. See, I oftentimes will talk to people who you know, are part of our congregation about, hey, you need to be involved. You know, if this is your community, you need to be involved. But I understand something. That what they can hear is, you got to work. What they hear is, you got to earn your place. What you hear is, you got to do something to be part of us, okay? And that's not at all what I'm saying. But I know that's how it's heard. I actually recognize and realize that a lot of, you know, earlier this morning when we talked about not being able to enter into worship or not being able to see God as he is, it's because our mindset is different than what his is. His ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. When it comes to entering into his rest, he says, I'm asking if you understand what it is, not for sacrifice, but I made you mercifully. I made you kindly. I made you because I know that you wander. So because I'm merciful, I allowed you to let me be your filling station. I mercifully am asking you if you will observe this little thing called the Sabbath, if you will actually take time and lay down all the fretfulness, lay down all the performance, lay down all the law and the legalism, and come to me corporately together with me as your focus, you will be more refreshed, more renewed, more energized than you would be on your vacation, on your lunch break, or on your nap. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. But if we go to church to fulfill a duty, then he's the Lord of labor. He's a taskmaster. If we go to church to fulfill an obligation, then he's more of a harsh taskmaster or a police officer. There's something, it may not look any different. The outward representation of entering into the Lord's rest may not look any different on the outside, but the attitude and posture of our heart will cause it to be way, way, way different on the inside. If anything of service and loving and coming before the Lord on a corporate level, because, you know, there's lots of bad doctrine and theology when it comes to gathering in the church of God together, okay? Scripture is very clear that we're not supposed to forsake gathering together regularly, but we're actually supposed to do it more as the return of the Lord draws near. But there's many in modern Christendom that have a I'm the church mentality. Everybody ever heard anybody? I got lots of people said to me, oh, I don't need a church, I am the church. You are the church, but right now you're the dumb part, okay? Because Scripture says every joint supplies, and where are you supplying if you're not part of his church? You are not the church. You're simply part of the church. And when you separate yourself, what hand, arm, leg, foot can separate when they cut themselves off from the rest of the body? Self-mutilation is not smart, hence the dumb comment. I'm not trying to be bad, just letting you know. The thought that you can agree in your mind to disagree with the Word of God is a recipe for a train wreck. If Jesus is saying the Sabbath is important, why did the church, by and large across the world, make it a day of work and I don't even know what to call it, a day of profound self-centeredness? When it's supposed to be Christ-centeredness, it's specifically the day where we're most centered on Christ than any other day of our week. And we're supposed to stay centered on Christ every day. But the Sabbath is where we come before him and he recharges our batteries, but he doesn't do it alone. He does it together. He's Lord of the Sabbath. I want him to be Lord of the Sabbath. That's what I want. I want you to be so filled with him by coming and gathering with other people that you can't wait to get back to do it again. That is what I believe is what a New Testament Sabbath is supposed to look like. What Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, is supposed to do is fill us up. We come in here to go, God, I've given you my week, and you saw what it was like. You saw what it was like in the trenches out there, Jesus. But you were faithful to me. You kept me through it all. You saw the hardships, the difficulties, the relationship things. You saw my struggles, my weaknesses, my failures. But God, I'm here again to say, you are Lord of the Sabbath. I want to enter into the ceasing of my hard labors and into the receiving of your refreshing together. Realigning me with my relationship with you, realigning me with your appreciation for all you've blessed me with, realigning me with the reality that I'm part of community, and community is important to you, so community is important to me. He's Lord of the Sabbath for a reason. Why I bring this up is multifaceted, but part of what I believe is that when we observe the Sabbath, we become like little oases to a dry world out there. There's something that you get in your prayer closet that's special and unique, but there's also something that you get in the corporate gathering that's special and unique. It's not choosing one or the other. There's something you get in the Word of God when you're with him, before him, praying and spending time just you and Jesus face to face, and it's beautiful. But there's something that you get when the body of Christ gathers that you don't get elsewhere. That's why more than one place, the Old Testament church was often told, God said, everybody stop, come outside. We're going to just fast and pray, just put our focus on Jesus. Why? Because the corporate manifestation of God's presence falls in a way that no matter where you're at, you get caught up, you get refreshed, you get refocused. I'm kind of excited because this makes me think of what we're doing next weekend. I'm not going to be here because all day Saturday, there's a 10-hour prayer and worship meeting in Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium. Some 70,000, 80,000 people are going to go there, and I'm going to go. I haven't been in one of these for a few years now. Probably last one's been 12, 13 years ago. But lives get changed when a whole bunch of people gather in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit falls. But it doesn't have to be 70,000. It's just the dynamic that he created when two or more gathered. So two or more gather, we turn our expectancy up. Or two or more gathered, we lay aside the thought that the enemy wants to say, oh, no. Church again, they're going to ask you to usher or run the sweeper. Oh, no. They're going to try to sign you up. Oh, gosh, I hope they don't. I hope the children are behaving. Oh, no, no, none of that. I remember it's been 20 years ago, but I'll never, maybe not that long, maybe 18, 17 years ago. The first time we gathered in a church as with this identity as the House of Prayer family, and a baby was crying. And it was the most joyful noise. It was in an awkward moment. It wasn't when, it was like a silent moment where we're supposed to be holy and reverent or whatever, and I was like, yay. I love hearing babies crying or screaming or whatever. Why? Because it means there's life present. It means that it's okay to bring whatever you got, just come. That we're not trying to create this static atmosphere that's full of legalism and formality. Family, God is a little messy. And if there's no mess, there's no family. So this morning again, might have been Violet, I'm not sure, but I heard a little baby, kind of do a meh in the middle of that. And I'm like, yes, we still got that. Thank you. Might have been Rod. Okay, no one, wasn't Rod, okay. Wasn't Rod crying out? Good, I'm just kidding. Rod's voice is much deeper than that. Practically, what does it mean to observe the Sabbath? What does it mean to allow him to be Lord of the Sabbath? Because there's those questions like, okay, he's really making a drive here for church attendance, Does it mean attending a weekly church service or, turning off our emails or volunteering at the Breadline or Washington Street Mission? It could. Does it matter what day you observe the Sabbath? Maybe. Your Sabbath could certainly include all those activities, and it could take place on the same day each week if you want it to. And, you know, I know that's what most of us try to attempt, is to come to church on Sunday, but the text seems to emphasize the purpose of the Sabbath rather than telling us rules for how to observe it. Mercy and not sacrifice. In his mercy, we cease from the day-to-day pursuits and gather together with him for the sole purpose of worship and togetherness and really getting refreshed by getting refocused on him. You know, as followers of Jesus, New Testament believers, we're not required to follow the law given to Israel. You know, certainly not exactly. There's obviously, like, we still observe the commandments. We still, thou shalt not kill, still works, okay? Thou shalt not steal, still, we're right there with you. Okay, it's not like that wiped out. But somehow, the wiping out of observing the Sabbath needs to be reviewed. And what it is, if we do believe in it, is what it has it become to us. Because the wisdom of these laws is enduring, and the law of the Sabbath is literally pure gold. It's not a commandment we're bound to, but it's a promise that we're invited into. The Lord says, I am God, the one who made you, and I know how you're made, and I know what makes you tick, and in my mercy, I design for us to be connected and for you to thrive in community. It's not about giving up fun stuff to begrudgingly come to church and serve him. It's about discovering one of the most energizing and refreshing places for the human heart and soul, and that's in his presence together. Nuach. You know, in the Greek, one observation I found is that when Jesus says, come to me and find rest. Rest, that word is, I'll probably butcher it because I'm not a Greek guy, but anapausis. But the word means rest and recreation. Recreation. Modern church life, it's not uncommon to be easily dissuaded from church to go do any number of fun things. I got a golf game. Well, I'm just going to sleep in. Got a little fishing to do. You know, I'm going to plan an event. I want to make a party. And the idea is that this is going to produce refreshing or renewing. And Jesus right here actually said, this recreation that you seek is found in me. The word means recreation. No one thinks about Jesus being a fun guy and be recreationing in him. But he did. He said that. And see, part of the expanding of our understanding is that we may very well find ourselves trying to create something for us that we're incapable of creating that he's already made available through our time of observing the Sabbath. I mean, why do we go on vacation? Rest and recreation. Why do we sleep in? We need more rest. Why do we play golf or tennis or pickleball or a million other things? We're looking for, ooh, the pickleball, did I hit you? Okay. We're looking for recreation. I'm not saying any things are bad, but there shouldn't be substitutes for recreation that Jesus offers us in the Sabbath. I'll never forget the day my dad was always just a direct guy. And when I got saved and I'm going to church every Sunday, twice on Sunday, mind you, we were at his house for lunch. And I said, well, we got to get ready to go to church. And he's like, what is this deal with you? You're going to church all the time. And I'll never, because I was so caught by the question, I just had to answer him as honestly as I could. And the moment it was this, I'm really enjoying it. It's so fun. And he didn't know how to, fun. He actually said to me, church isn't supposed to be fun. I'm going, that's what you Lutherans think, isn't it? That's what most people think. There's no fun. There's no recreation in Jesus. This is hard labor. No, we actually stop the hard labor and enter into something in him. Now, why then do we not all understand or gravitate this way? The misunderstanding we have is everything that requires our attention, except for our hobbies, is going to be hard. Everything that requires a commitment is just going to be kind of painful and difficult. We've got lots of examples in our life. We thought marriage was going to be all fun, right? Right? Come on. We thought that job that we love was just going to be, guess what? Perfect job even is still work. You can work at something you love, but that doesn't mean it's still going to be work. But this opportunity we have before us, I believe, is to ask God to help us and in some cases, lay aside what we consider to be the highest forms of pleasure in order to receive the superior pleasures of communing with Him. This is a big deal. This is the biggest deal for the human condition right now, who are always seeking to fulfill an unfillable desire for pleasure within them with inferior things. When God says, I don't mind you doing those things. I don't mind you going to the bridge club. I don't mind you playing golf. I don't mind you fishing or hunting or singing or playing music. I don't mind you doing other things. But you don't expect to get from them what you can only get from me. I am the superior one who made you and fashioned you in a design that I created, and your highest place of satisfaction and fulfillment is found with me, and outside of me you will be sorely mistaken and sadly dissatisfied, and you'll just want to try to continue to do more of those things. You'll be like an addict going, I just need to golf more, I just need to buy more, I just need to work more, I just need to do more. And it's like, no, you need to stop from all of that. You need to cease from the attempt to try to satisfy self and realize that I'm the one who satisfies you. This is what Hebrews says, because this is why it shocked me. I've read this so many times, and it struck me today, because if we consider doing it, if we consider attending church or worshiping or serving and honoring God and what God does in His household as something begrudging or sad or hard or something we don't want to do, I'm telling you, we need an attitude adjustment. If we consider serving the poor, helping others, giving as something that is repugnant and repulsive and something difficult that is not for me, I'm telling you, if you think that those ladies up here who were worshiping and dancing today were crazy and you would never do that, I'm telling you, you're missing out. They weren't. Right. Oh, that's just not me. Well, you don't really know who the real you is yet. Because for all eternity, worship will be going around, and there's nobody sitting on the outside going, Jesus, get over with that stuff, because that's not me. I'm telling you that none of the people that aren't me are in that place. They're in another place, and the tempers are really high. Worship is the essence of who you are, because the Holy Spirit made you to be a worshiper. And all that we do unto Him, it's from a place of rest and encounter, not a place of striving. Our minds need to be enlightened. Our eyes need to be able to see. In order to actually benefit from it, from the Sabbath, one factor has to be dealt with, and that is attitude. And we've all been guilty at some point or another, or we have been, you know, of not having the best attitude when it comes to really putting our hearts before God and allowing ourselves to be restful. Hebrews 4:9. Read it lots of time. It's probably taken on new depth to me. It says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. And then this verse here just blows my mind. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What? He said, make every effort to enter that rest. There's effort made to enter rest. What effort are we making to enter into the rest of God? I mean, I'm asking myself that question, but I'm asking you too, because I get to. What effort are you exerting to enter into the rest of God? What are you saying no to? What are you saying yes to? What are you allowing Him to change your mind about? Because you're thinking in a way, if you're resisting Him, He's saying, I'm going to love you until you drop the walls. If you're ignoring Him, He said, I'm going to knock on your door until you open it up. If you're pursuing something else, He's saying, I'm going to allow you to be dissatisfied until all that you'll pursue will be me, because everything else doesn't fill that void inside of you. You better learn that one way or the other, God is going to have his way in your life. And if you labor, if you, you know, effectually decide that you have and make effort to enter into the rest, it's going to be a lot easier than if you wait till you exhaust yourself entering into everything else. You know, the old, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, but he's going to have his way. Sounds like there's actual effort involved. And here's the thing, and this is why I think this is so important. As God increases his activity in our lives, I'm fully committed and believing that God is increasing his activity in our midst and in the earth. I fully believe that, and I would love anybody who wants to know why, haven't been able to see it, doesn't understand it, I'd love to have conversations with you because he's going to show you. God's really good that if you ask him, there's more he's wanting to do in our midst now than in the past. It's already beginning, and if you don't see it, it's not because he doesn't want you to see it. It's because there's something that's keeping you from seeing it that he wants to help you get out of the way. And he's really gracious and kind and merciful. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. He doesn't want you to suffer loss. He wants you to embrace all that he has and receive the maximum amount of the cool blessings that he's got for you. That's he's merciful. He's not holding your stuff against you. He's not saying, I know you didn't think this was the way it was, so you're out. He's saying, however you think that's different than me, I'm going to give you mercy. Just think like me because I got lots for you and I want you to get it. And he's going to increase your influence, his favor on you. It's going to be more magnetic to others. His blessings, though, come with responsibilities because they all take time and energy. Whatever you're getting ready to embrace in this new season, you recognize it's going to take effort, energy, to make sure they stay in their place so he'll be in his place. And before long, we can actually start to believe, if we're not careful, that we're the one who makes it all happen, and then we're the one who has to keep it happening. No, I got a new business. Well, I got a new this. Well, I got a new whatever. Man, I've worked really hard to make this happen. No. Do you understand? As a result of entering into my rest, I care for these details. We can't get so busy doing that we also decide that we're in charge of rest and recreation and we missed out on true rest. There's lots of things I love to do for recreation, but I want Jesus to be the center of it all. Sabbath rest is an invitation that we're going to practice for eternity. It's where we regularly, intentionally engage in God's rule and reign in our hearts and on the earth. And really, we have to Shabbat in order to nuach. We have to cease in order to drink, to receive, to behold and become, and to stop working and truly rest in God's presence. When we practice this intentional stop, intentionally stopping. I've been one of these guys, and I've been around people who go, I'm at church, but really, my mind's going 100 miles an hour. I'm on my phone. I can't really get off of it. I'm not looking at the Bible. I'm checking out the sports scores or what I'm doing later or all my calls and my texts, okay? You're missing the Shabbat. You're missing the rest of God. You're not getting what God has for you because you haven't learned how to stop yet. And so the stop comes before the receiving happens. I want to say one of the greatest things, I'm going to share just a little bit here, because we have a kind of thing about what happens in men groups, stays in men groups. There's just one good thing that I want to share, okay? We've got a bunch of guys sitting around the table, and we're talking, we're praying, believing God. Roger always comes in and takes his phone and lays it way over on the table away from everybody else. I really admire him for that. Why? He's there to receive and to stay connected, and he understands this thing will tempt me if I don't leave it alone. So he does that. I'm thinking, there's a man of God. There's a man after God's own heart. I know there's something that I need to get. And so I'm going to make sure I'm going to stop from some other things in order to receive. It looks like that sometimes, that simple. Sometimes it's stopping the thoughts up here. I'm choosing right now to lay them all down and just focus on Jesus. But when we practice this intentional stop, we make room for him to take up residence in the thoughts and in our individual lives that other things were occupying. And when we do this together, we're making space for it in our community. And even better, we're taking part in this redemption story, this new creation novel that he's written and made us players and characters in, setting the stage for God to make his dwelling place and his resting place right here and right here. Now, whether it's the Sabbath or whether it's a holiday, I just want to say it this way. I always want to be mindful, and I want you to help me to be mindful. And I want to encourage you to help one another be mindful. God is at the center. God is at the center. He is always the focal point. I will say this without any problem today. Moms aren't the focal point. Jesus is. And he made beautiful moms, and we love them, and we're thankful for it. The manger at Christmas isn't the focal point. Jesus is. The cross at Easter isn't the focal point. Jesus is. Neither is the Christmas program or the Easter program. Neither is all of the plans that go around it. And if we stay in that place, that's if you will, entering into. That's staying tethered to what the rest gives us. He says, let's make every effort to enter. And I believe every effort means every. Every always means every. Today, I just want to ask for the Holy Spirit to give us new perspective to see the value of his pathway to rest and to help us maybe just a little bit to lay down some of our own labors. Quit trying to create our own rest, our own recreation in order to receive his. There's beautiful things. When I got saved when I was 23 years old, and I never really had an encounter in the beauty of God till probably 15 years later. Okay, many of you in here haven't even been saved 15 years. Some of you have been saved 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And so when I say to you, there's a manifestation of the presence of God that has overwhelming beauty that will totally and completely reconstruct the way you think and re-energize you and refocus you for what you were created for. And you look at me like, when are we going to get over with? I'm like, you don't understand, man. I'm 61. I could fall over with a heart attack next week. But what I got to say is going to affect you forever. He has a manifestation of beauty that he's inviting you into, and it is far more surpassing glorious than anything you've imagined because Scripture says it is. Make every effort to enter into because it's valuable, and it will affect you for all eternity, and it will affect your sons and your daughters and your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors and every other relationship because there's a lot of dryness, there's a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of hurting right there, and he's the answer. He's in you, and in that place of Sabbath, he's going to pour into you what will need to be poured out. And you'll go, where did that come from? It came from the Sabbath. Stand with me if you will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to fall over and have a heart attack, by the way, just so you know. I'm healthy and going to stay that way and get healthier. So if anybody's concerned about word curses, I resist those and, you know, all that stuff. I believe that I didn't receive it or say it over myself. So, you know, but if you're saying it over me, repent. Just kidding. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you today, God, that there's something about entering into your rest that you are inviting us into that is beautiful and powerful, and I don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it, God. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit today, Lord, would go deep within us to pull out everything, Lord, that is rest and recreation, not of you. Lord, we want to have rest and recreation in you so that all those other things can be enjoyed rightly. Lord, our entertainment, our flesh longs for pleasure, but God, they are superior pleasures that you offer that far surpass what we try to do to create our own pleasure. Lord, help us to align those things. Lord, I know it's a process. I believe in miracles, and if today, miraculously, God, you want to realign us, I am totally down for that. I'm asking, Lord, for anybody who's open to that, that it would happen right now, right here in this place. God, but I also know many times you're about the process of highlighting those things in us that we allow to be too important, and the things of you that we've allowed to become way diminished. But we want to get our priorities right. In this day and this hour, it's not a time to be fooling around. So, Lord, we're asking today, help us. You know where we are. You know what we need. Holy Spirit, help us. you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment. I don't know if there's anybody on the worship team who can just maybe just or put some music on either one. Yeah. Just want to just take a moment, just wait on the Lord. Yeah, go ahead. Just maybe on the piano, Hubens, that'll be fine because I think the kids are downstairs. I just don't want to miss an opportunity. If the Holy Spirit right now, if you're stirred in any way or just feeling like there's something that you need a touch from God about, the thought that the beauty of God is sounds more like something on a Mother's Day card than a real reality to your life. I don't want you to walk out of here today thinking, well, that's for somebody else and it's not for me. If you're hearing me talk about the presence of God and you think, yeah, I mean, I felt it once when I got saved or one time in during a worship song, but it's not something that place where I've lived or experienced on a regular basis. I'm telling you, God wants to unplug the conduits. But you have to make some effort. It's what it says. I didn't say it. If I could just wave my hand and make it all happen, I would. But I can't because sometimes God says, no, you make every effort to enter into the rest. I'll meet you there. So I just want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to pray for you if you want to receive prayer before we dismiss and give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to just speak to your heart. It's not even noon yet, so whatever plans you got, you're still on time. I'm just going to open up the altar this morning and say, this morning, if beholding his beauty, entering into his rest, being refreshed in his presence is something that's not been regular for you, then come forward and I want to pray for you. Come forward today and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help you in that area. If you got to go, God bless you. Have a happy Mother's Day. If you care to linger for a while, I think it'd be good and refreshing for you. But understand if you got plans, no big deal. But just know that God loves you and I do too. And I want to see all that he has for you.